Hello and welcome to the Parent Survival Kit podcast, from surviving to thriving in your household. My name is Gene Schwalen. Next to me, as always, my beautiful bride, Dr. Sonia Schwalen, pediatric expert psychologist and nationally certified school psychologist. And we also have a very special guest on the show today. We have Carrie Kirker, who's a registered nurse, a mom, a wife, and a really good friend. So today's going to be a really exciting episode. Last episode, we talked about love and respect, love versus respect, what men want, what women want, this constant struggle, why has it changed once we get married, past the honeymoon phase, all these things that go on. So today, I want to talk about what women really want. How do guys really please their women? So before we get started, I have a really, really good joke that I think is going to make perfect sense. So if you don't mind, just give me a minute. And I may mess it up a little bit, but just bear with me. So anyway, there's this guy living in Southern California, and he had this wish or this prayer to God. And God said, you know what? Whatever you want, I'll grant it. Okay, but think long and hard about it. So he thought about it for a couple of months. And he came up to God. He said, I got it. He goes, I want $1 million so I don't have to worry about working, so I can do whatever I need to do, whatever you want me to do. He goes, yeah, that's pretty shallow, but $1 million, that's so easy. Come on, give me something better. Go back and think about it. He comes back and says, okay, you know what? I really want, I really want a highway that goes from Southern California all the way to Hawaii. So whenever I want to get away, I can just go to Hawaii and I can just drive my car over there. He goes, have you thought about like the infrastructure that would take to build this bridge from Southern California to Hawaii? The amount of cement, the pillars, I mean, the ocean, how deep it is. I mean, have you really thought about just the engineering and whatnot? I mean, I can definitely do it. I'm God. But have you thought about all that would go into that? I mean, seriously, can you give me something else a little bit different? And so he comes back and thinks about it. He comes back to God. And he says, well, I want to know what women think and what women want. And God comes back and says, do you want two lanes on that highway or four? Right? I mean, seriously. I think that's honest, right? I mean, we just were laughing about
it
before.
Not that bad.
You know, what do women want? So we talked about love and respect. Biblically, it says in the Bible that, you know, men love your wives. And it says in the Bible, women respect your husband. So we kind of broke that down a little bit in last episode. So how do we actually really give you guys the love you're really needing? What does that look like? You know, and I know that Lee and I talked a little bit earlier about how can men really honor their women as well? So let us know. We want to know.
I feel like you're taking like such a huge risk right now of like putting yourself in this position. You're the one guy like versus two women and you're asking this question.
Yeah.
You all right? Do we need to get you some psychological help?
Well, I have
my husband's not here to defend himself.
Oh no. Maybe we need to get him on here, right?
That's all right. We can invite him to the next show to where we can have a little payback. So
a little Kirker family on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Carrie, what do you think? What do women want?
What do women want? I think it's always changing. When you're newly married, it's easy to give each other what you want. It's easy to give that love. It's easy to give that respect. And then once the pressure of family life and working and trying to run a household, that's when I think it starts to get challenging to know what to give each other. You kind of start to look inward and taking care of yourself instead of taking care of each other. And that's when it can kind of start getting challenging. And you have to start communicating with each other about it. In my opinion, I think we want both, just like men do. We want love and respect.
No, I agree. And
of course, we want all the above, right?
I mean, but I don't think the Bible is saying we don't want respect.
Right.
I think it's just like it's a focus on the one versus the other.
I think it comes down to really how we're built with our DNA from the Lord. Ultimately, you know, women ultimately want love and affection, like love, like, you know, pure love, and men need more of love. Men need more of respect, or the feeling of respect. You know, and the reason why we're talking about this today is because, again, this is a Parents Survival Kit podcast, but, you know, we can't be as good for our kids as we need to be if we're not strong in our marriage. I mean, it goes hand in hand. So if we're not strong in our marriage, our kids suffer tremendously. So I really think this is a very important conversation. So if we take it back to when we met our spouses, when we went to the dating scene and all that stuff, you know, men are going to be, you know, strong and let me impress and come to my softball games or come to this and see me do this. And men want to impress how strong and whatever they are. And women just want to, like, you know, be loved. Yeah, they want to be courted. They want to be taken care of in different ways and whatnot. So, I mean, it kind of starts there, doesn't it? And then, as you mentioned, things change. Once you get married, all of a sudden you got to really go to work, and now you're living in the same household, and you start realizing things about your spouse that you didn't really know beforehand. You're like, oh, my gosh, if I would have known that, I would never have gotten married, right? you know, all these real things come into play. So it comes down to really, what do women really, really need more so, you know, because we talked about it, you know, women want to talk and be heard in the last episode. Men want sex. That's true. Men would be great with having sex daily and they would be taken care of and they need that or want that more than anything else, but they still want other things too. We do. We want to talk and be heard, but what do women want?
Okay, so I'm going to do what I do best, right, as a psychologist. I'm going to go into that place for just a second because I'm really happy that Carrie said what she said in terms of, like, there's a progression. It changes. It evolves over time. And there is a reality, right, to running a household, having a family, trying to maintain your work life and even hit your professional goals if you still have that.
You've got bills and debt and everything else.
There's finances. I mean, that, like, research shows that's like the number one thing that couples argue about and have conflict over.
In America, for sure.
And so, you know, real life hits and now all of a sudden that honeymoon, that lovebird phase kind of like dwindles. There's no time for it. There's really no energy for it. And what Carrie said is, like, you know, people will turn inward. It's because they're self-sacrificing every other aspect in their life. They're not getting enough sleep. They're always there for whatever the kids need. Then they're responding to demands at work. And so then when they're finally home and there's nothing else to do or to respond to or think about, all they want to do is focus on taking care of themselves, not their spouse.
Well,
and that's where I think we need to, like, really drill down into. It's like, in those moments, what do we need as women, as men? You know, how do we take care of each other? And then I also want to just speak to what you were saying, because,
well, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to, if you don't mind, if I'm
no,
not gonna,
I don't mind. It's fine.
All right, because you
asking.
You turned around and talked about going inward, and we all do that. And I think that's really the biggest problem, because it's kind of like when we're dating initially, we are so selfless because we want to impress or make the other person feel good. Like, we really want to, and we do it because we really want to. It's not like when you go interview for a new job, you put your best foot forward and you really focus intentionally to be that very best you. You're not putting on some big show. It really who you are, but you're being so intentional to be the best. I think we do that when we're dating. When we also get into relationships, more times than not, I don't care who it is or how great that person is, myself included, I'll raise my hand all day long, we also have our own expectations of what we want to get out of that relationship, what the other person can pour in and give me in return to make my life better, make me feel better, give me joy, happiness, whatever it may be. We look at those things, and so some of that, as we turn inwardness and we're not pouring out anymore, that's when the struggle starts to begin, I think.
Well, and if we go back to the love and respect concept, it's, you know, if we're turning inward or we're not turning towards each other, it's also because we're probably not looking up first either, right? And so it's all about, like, putting God first, then our marriage, then our kids. And the reason we have to put God first is because we also have to take time and invest in our relationship with him. So I think that needs to be a part of today's discussion. But to go back to what we were talking about in terms of, you know, women wanting love and men wanting respect, I kind of mentioned this last time. When I drill down into, like, a couples therapy session, it can be hard for people to really hear that. And so I think it can really help to think about it as if it's just women feel more connection when we're speaking in a love language, right? And men's language is a respect language. So it doesn't take respect away from women. It doesn't take love away from men. It's not that, like, all-inclusive or exclusive. It's just there's, like, a language. There's a way to do it, a way to act, or a way to speak in order to help resonate with feeling loved for women and feeling respected for men. I think that's how God designed us.
Well, and if you like really want to break that down, I mean, you know, that makes great sense. I mean, it's like...
That's what I do. Thank you.
Women want to, you know, they want to be heard. Men want respect. So when you think about respect for a man, like, how do you really define that? Like, if you asked any guy, I don't care, you could ask 100 guys, what does it mean to be respected? You know, you can't really determine that. Guys can't communicate that. But what it comes down to ultimately.
Guys can't communicate, right?
That's the whole problem. We are physical. When you go back to the early days, you know, we were cavemen. Like, we were going out there and hunting with our bare hands and building fires with our bare hands and stones. We are physical beings. Like, we will die for our family, hands down. We will put our life on the line for our wife and our kids, without question, won't think twice about it. We are physical beings, how we were built, okay? Women feel everything. We are physical, and women feel everything. So that's why men want sex, and women want to talk. I mean, if you think about how that really comes down to, it's really based on our DNA, how we're built.
Well, I think that women get too far away from also thinking that men only want sex. Because I think when you're first married, women are all for it. Mm-hmm. We're fine. We're great, you know? It's when the busyness happens and the anxiety comes in that it almost feels like another pressure. So intimacy, though, is really, really important. And that's something that I've had to learn myself. Like, in my own marriage, that it's not just that my husband wants to have sex. Like, right. It's a true connection between us. And I went to this marriage seminar one time, and they told us to, like, pray, like, if you're having a hard time. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to pray about sex. Like, that's weird. Like, no, God's not involved. But he is. It is a connection that you two can have. So I think that stigma that, like, men just want it, it's not fair to them either. Mm-hmm. I mean, God didn't design them that way. Like, so.
They're emotional beings.
Well, they are. They are emotional. Needs.
But we are emotional through physical action.
Yes.
More times than not. Because the intimacy is definitely a part of it. It's not just we want just sex. It is the intimacy. It's that connection, for sure.
Right.
Hands down.
And it does. And it does make a strong connection for both of you. And I think if women see it as a chore, they're missing out on that connection. Mm-hmm. But if they embrace it, then they can have it. I know for myself, like, I want to feel heard and that I'm communicating and it's being received. But you're not trying to fix it. You're trying to kind of either lovingly support me or even sometimes challenge me. Like, that's okay. I'm okay being challenged. That works for me if it's done in a loving way. And I just want my husband to want to spend time with me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big love language for me. Like, just spend time with me. Even if I'm in the kitchen and it's been a crazy day and I'm making the dishes, don't walk away from me. Like, come out there. Come talk to me. Put your arms around me. Like,
or come listen to you.
Or listen to me. Sometimes I'm quiet, too, where I'm just like, I've said enough today. Like,
No, absolutely. I've talked to so many couples just in clinic doing couples therapy, but then even from my own experience, you can pass your husband in the home, like, over and over again, right? Or, I mean, that's what happens because you're so busy, you're not stopping to just, like, be with that person. Mm-hmm. And that makes a huge difference. Just like getting in the kitchen and what you said, I think is like such a good example. You're doing your thing. You're getting on with your day. It's nice if they can just stop in and like show you that like, hey, I'm here too. And I'm right next to you.
It's honestly more of a strength of my husband to get me out of my own head than it is for me to help get him out of his own head. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of struggling here. What do you need? Yeah. What do you want? Yeah. You want to go punch something? You know, I'll support you.
And sometimes we do. I mean, there are some times that I'm sitting there and I'm like, I would love to just put my head through this window right now. I won't feel anything, you know, but because I'm big and strong too, right? So, you know, it's kind of fun, like, what you just said about, like, the interactions and how we, like, communicate or not communicate throughout the evenings or the times we have together. I just thought about having, like, cameras in the house. And if we were to, like, take pictures of all the interactions or the crossings of paths and whatnot and how much do we actually communicate, if we would put it on fast forward, what that would look like, it'd probably be really funny to watch if you really think about it.
Could be funny. Could be sad.
Yeah,
it would be eye awakening.
Frustrating.
It would be fun. And like, that's how we're living though. Like, right. Are we really living this way? Like, we are living life together, but we're not living life together. No. Sometimes
it takes intention. Like,
and that's the whole thing.
All of it does.
It does. For sure.
But one thing I've learned through the years is, as a man and living with Dr. Schwalen over here.
Do you call her that?
At work, he does.
I do. That's the respect I have for my wife. I respect my wife. But you know, I can think of so many conversations to where I sat and listened and I was engaged, and because I was engaged, that's where she really got filled up. I mean, that's really where I think women get filled up, when the guy's engaged, because you guys thrive, literally women thrive on the different relationships and interactions they have with all their girlfriends and everything else that go on, and they want their man to just hear all about it. You know, they
do. Well, and like feel heard and validated. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So my point is, when I'm listening actively and I'm engaged and I can actually follow most of your spider webs from here to there and everywhere else, and okay, she said that, and then you went to here, and then okay, and then we went back to okay. I don't know where we're at now, but can you please tell me more? Tell me more.
I think it's okay to poke fun at us too about it. Like, yeah, you're all over the place.
It's,
yeah, I know.
Funny because it's
just
true.
Keep up.
Yeah, but whenever she's telling me things, I'm trying to fix the problem, as you mentioned earlier, that's when I get in trouble, you know, and big trouble, and then everything breaks down and there's no more communication. But when we first got married, the biggest thing we ever did, the strength of our marriage was, we used to go on walks, because we didn't have all the kids and everything else too, and bedtimes at 6:30 and 7 and everything else, it was a lot easier without all the other distractions or whatnot, or obligations, responsibilities. But we would go on walks, and she would just decompress about her entire day, and we just walk, and I would just listen, and life was great, and that was really what she needed.
It happened organically.
And when we got home, life was great for me.
There was space for it, you know? There's no space nowadays with kids and jobs and families and all that.
But there has to be. So
it has to be.
Because when we got married, I already had two kids, because we're a blended family, as we've spoken about before many times on this show. I was a coach. I had a full-time job. I had a company that was nationwide, very, very busy, but I also was a coach and spent a lot of time coaching, so like baseball and basketball. And I still made plenty of time for you whenever we met, and I was very intentional about the time that we spent and how we actually organized that, arranged that, scheduled that, whatever you want to call it. But we just stopped doing that because we don't have to anymore, right? Because we're married now. I think that's where we kind of, the pit that men and women both equally fall into.
Taking each other for granted. And then it does. You have to be intentional about it. And sometimes it just takes one person in the relationship that says, we need to be more intentional about this. Like, let's make this happen. Let's spend more time together. My husband and I, it's been like an ongoing battle about like how we spend our time together. I'm a morning person. He's a nighttime person. And I finally asked him, and I said, you know, I'm meeting you when it works for you. I need you to meet me when it works for me, so that we can make the best of both of those times, and not just one, because that to me is showing to me that you're showing up. You're showing up for me and for our relationship. So I know for he and I, like we have started getting up with each other in the morning, like before the kids get up. And sometimes we don't even talk. Sometimes we're just sitting together quietly and we're having a cup of coffee and just enjoying the silence of the house together. But we're doing it together. Because when I was doing it by myself, it was lonely. And I felt resentful. I felt frustrated. Like, why am I the only one up right now? Why aren't we doing this together? I want to feel like we're doing every aspect of life together.
Yeah. And I think that I've said the exact same thing, like to my husband, like, you know, I didn't get married to eat my meals alone. I used to do that when I was single, right? Or I didn't get married to have my morning routine by myself. That's what I did when I was single. Mm-hmm. I literally have said those things to him before. And so I think that's one of them. I think we keep coming back to this, is we got married because our husbands are the people that we imagined just doing life with. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter what we're doing, as long as we're doing it together. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing to us. And I think we're agreeing on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we want. We just want to feel like our men are showing up for us.
You want to feel connected.
Yeah. We do. We don't want you to just be like, go do your thing. Go have fun.
Let's live separate lives.
Yeah, like you're happy, right? You know, you got the house, you got the car, you're going out, right. You're going shopping, you're going out to... Yeah, but I want to do it with you.
Right.
Like, I want you to show some enthusiasm, like, about doing this together.
Yeah, be happy that we actually are living day in and day out together. We truly are growing old with each other. So, like, let's make that happen every day.
And then you'll get the sex that you want.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Hey, guys, there you go. If you just heard it live from the woman's mouth. Okay, do live together. Get up in the morning. You don't even have to say anything.
No, you don't.
Just get up and drink
just
your coffee next
like
to each other.
You are happy to be there with us.
Just wake up a little bit earlier. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not all about bringing home the bacon. Okay, that's important.
It's really not.
Mm-mm.
Well, and I think that's where, you know, guys want to make sure they're providing, right?
Right.
But then guys also have their pride, and they also have their things, and they feel like, I know so many guys, and I've, luckily, I've never been, I don't think, as far there as some guys, and I have my own stuff, too, by all means. So I'm definitely not perfect, but there's a lot of dads that I know that on the weekends, they want to go play golf, and golf is, man, I used to love playing golf. I played twice a week, but it was during the day, during the week when I could, because I could. But with kids, all that stuff changed, and one thing that I realized is that if I go play golf on the weekends, even once on the weekend, that's a 6-hour outing from leaving the house, going to play golf, whatever else. Usually it involves drinks. Not always for some people, but for a lot of people it does. That's a long time away, you know. But we feel like we're entitled to that because of the way we provide. We feel like if we're doing these things for our wives and our kids, we feel like we should be able to do what we want to do. I'm just saying, like, cause I even have some of that in me in different ways, too. I think that's a big, huge, like, jumping off that cliff real quick to where your marriage is not going to work.
I think if you're doing that every single weekend, you know, it is going to put, like, a strain on the relationship. But, I mean, men should be able to go and play golf if they want to for a weekend. Just, like, you know, sometimes I take a weekend trip and I go away with my girlfriends and it's a getting away. But if I were constantly trying to escape my marriage and my family by constantly going out or getting away, then it is going to hurt the marriage. I'm not respecting my husband. Like, I'm doing my own thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think that's the difference, right? If you go and do it every once in a while, it can be very healthy to get away and
sure.
to mm-hmm. socialize, to have that outlet. It's very healthy, and all couples should
they need their
support
outlets.
That
yeah.
in
yeah,
one another.
Absolutely.
You know, it
and
makes
then you come back and they talk to you
that's
about
what
their
I was
dick.
Say.
Sorry.
It's like you just took it away. That's awesome.
Go girl.
They say it makes the relationship richer because you go and have these separate experiences. You come back and you get to like tell everything about it mm-hmm. and talk about it. And
you're not talking just about work or the kids. You're talking about what did you do today? What did you learn? You know what? You want to jump in on the journey together with certain things, and then you can take your own and but. Bring them into the marriage. Don't make it seem like that person couldn't step into it with you if they wanted to.
Yes, exactly. So at all times, that person is invited to join you, but they don't necessarily ever will, right? It's just they don't feel excluded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember some of our favorite times was going to different stores and shopping for you and you trying on different clothes in the dressing room and whatnot.
That was fun.
Yeah.
He was actually with me when I bought my wedding dress.
Yeah, I helped it out. Aww, so. Yeah, lots of fun. Then COVID hit and everything changed and now everything's online. We have Stitch Fix and whatnot. So
that's right.
Everything changes, right? But it is that hustle and bustle that really makes it hard on marriages. So, you know, one thing that I'm taking away from this with you guys is really just that intentionality. And we talk about intentionality all the time on the show, but we've got to really put the time in to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Scheduling, like, you know, we talk about... You know, our careers and our, you know, we schedule things, we time block things. We have to really come together as a married couple and time block the things that we want and be open and honest and communicate. Like, you know, what do you guys really want? And that, as you guys said, it may change day to day or month to month or week to week or whatnot. But having open communication to really figure out what each person wants and really what they're needing, because that can change too. Like, there's some days that I need something completely different than, you know, the sex that we're talking about and all that. I really just need sometimes to be motivated because I may be having a hard time or maybe buried in my job, and I just need to be lifted up. Like,
be each other's best
I need
friend.
A cheerleader, you know. Mm-hmm. Baby, you got this, come on, you know. And that's all we need as guys is, you got this, come on, you can do it,
or I'm proud of you, or you're doing awesome.
And I know sometimes it's important for us women to be more forthcoming with what we're thinking and communicating, because we do kind of expect you to be mind readers sometimes. And I have learned in my own marriage that if I just come right out and say, hey, like, I need this from you, or that tone you used, it's not going to get you very far. But, you know, maybe if you said it like this, you know, and before I wouldn't do that. I would just kind of be like, he should know this. How dare he? Why did he say it that way? Or why is he not responding the way I want him to, or showing up the way I want him to? And he'd always be like, I didn't know. And so I had to get over that, like, grumpy attitude about not communicating it. So I needed to communicate, okay, this is what I need. Then, and I want you to feel comfortable to do the same with me.
Mm-hmm. Like, give, like, even just direct and clear feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't read our minds.
No.
They don't know really how we operate until we tell them what we need.
Yeah. Well, and when it comes to guys too, I mean, there's so many times to where, like, you know, we don't really need a whole lot of emotional support. More times than not, we don't typically, and I'm generalizing as well, but there are times that we do, but we're pretty good to where, like, you know, we can get over something and move on. That's just what we do. And
you compartmentalize. Like, you don't have to sit there and process everything.
Yeah, and we don't have to feel everything for 3 days either, or 3 weeks, you know. We get over it in 3 minutes, and you guys are like, we're like, I'm coming by my wife and grabbing her butt. She's like, what are you doing? I'm so mad at you. I'm like, baby, that was like 3 minutes ago. You know, I mean, come on. 3 minutes ago. You know, over yet? She's like, no, I need about 3 months. Okay. it happens. It's real, though.
Oh, no, I
it's
know.
True.
I know. How long are we going to keep them in that place?
Right. But what you said, I like what you said. Like, I had to get over my grumpy attitude and just give the feedback, right? And then hope that because we're willing to forgive and grow together, that we're going to give each other another chance to get it right.
Yeah, you know, and you had mentioned something on the last episode, and we've talked about this before, but since you guys talk about things changing all the time as well, and guys, we just got to figure out how to keep up and hope that they'll communicate. So, but we can also do a much better job of asking, hey, what do you need? What, you know, is there anything I can help you with today? Or what are you needing today? Or
wouldn't that be amazing?
Like, spend some time
if there was a breakdown in communication and they came to us and said, you know, that interaction that we had this morning, I noticed that there was a breakdown. What could I have done differently?
Yeah, it's like the meter, the
that
love
meter.
That
just
like
so amazing.
But see, that wouldn't
that's
have
one thing that we want.
But let's be real. If we did that, like, when we were, like, dating, you'd be like, this
She's
guy's
on
weird.
Cloud nine right now.
If we did that when we were dating, it would have been weird, and we never would have gotten married. You'd be like, oh, my God, this guy's, like, there's something wrong with him. He's,
okay,
like, a big
sap.
Okay, that's
true. You would have come across needy.
Right.
Yeah.
When we were dating, maybe it's,
seriously.
I don't know if this is just because I'm a psychologist.
It's changing all the time.
Right? But I don't know if this is just because I'm a psychologist or not. I think it's just because I'm a woman. When we were dating, I'd be like, well, let me just tell you all about me and how I operate. I mean, I just put it all out there. I made it so easy, didn't I?
Yeah, I sit there with Google eyes, and you're like, "Ooh, he's into me." Maybe.
So I would just provide the feedback, but now it actually sounds really nice to think like, "Oh, you're coming and seeking the feedback."
Yeah, it's you know, guys, we gotta change our game.
Stumped him,
you know.
I did.
No, actually, what it comes down to is because when it comes to guys and dating, I mean, let's just be real. It's a game, right? Like, it's like we call it a big game. It's like, you know, we're players, right? So we're going to play this game. I'm not saying players in a bad way. I'm like, you know, we're up for the competition. It's up for the challenge. You know, I always say she's got a PhD, a player-headed degree, you know, because you can't hang sometimes. But when it really comes down to it, we got to really change our game, right? And what we spoke about previously is like the five different love languages. And I think that's, I know guys have them too. But I think it's really more so for women. And now that I'm hearing this conversation, I'm thinking even more so, like, we have to really study the five love languages, because And maybe we should ask on a weekly basis, honey, what's your love language this week? Because it changes.
That would be awesome.
Because I know when we got married, when we got married, it's not the same as it was today, because now with kids.
But sometimes the answer is going to be, I don't know, I need you to figure it out, because I'm done figuring everything out.
Yeah, that's right? true, too. You don't want to just, like, hand them everything. You want them to actually figure it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, and what's for dinner?
And
I don't know. You figure it out.
And then when we make
making these decisions all
and
day
we suggest
long.
Chinese, I want Italian.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. What are you thinking?
It's true.
I mean, seriously, we can't win. It's like, can we just have sex?
No.
Honestly, I'm going to play golf.
Stop talking.
I think it's so important to have fun. Like, I realized I went through a phase of, like, my husband would try and make me laugh, and I would just be like, no, no laughing right now. It's not time to have fun. And I had to stop doing that. Like, we needed to have fun in all situations. Like, we're only going to be this young for so long. Like, let's enjoy the time together.
For today. Oh, yeah. Today's getting older.
Yeah. And we don't know if we have tomorrow.
And I said this literally, I don't know, like earlier when we were shooting another episode about how playfulness and laughter is so, it's such a vital part of every relationship that we're in, even with our children, with our spouses. And there's research that shows, like, the moment you stop playing and laughing, that's actually when the relationship and each other start the dying process. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know?
And there's
a
rap song lyric that I absolutely love to this day. And it says,
it
I can. It All says, right. everybody dies, but not everybody lives.
Mm. Yep. there you go. We do like a whole show together. This is awesome.
Yes. But that's the thing, though. One thing I started, like, really trying to focus on, because sometimes I get buried in my work and what I need to do. And it's not because I want to just think about work, because trust me, I have gone a long time having a great life because of what I built. Before I just went on to open up her own clinics and all this other stuff, and
before I came into your life,
but every day, you know, every day should be like a vacation. I mean, it should be like I get to go to work today. I'm on vacation. Yeah, it's a work day. Okay, do I love what I do? If you don't love what you do, go find a different job. Seriously, what's your purpose? Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's my purpose? I don't know. Go write your own obituary. What do you want to be left with? What do you want people to remember you as? That's really how you can figure out what your purpose is. But when you can enjoy those things in life for yourself, then you can enjoy those also with your spouse, because when you first got together, you loved what you did because you talked about it nonstop. One thing that everyone loves to do, man or woman, we love to talk about ourselves and who we are and what we do and what we like. But once you spend so much time together, you already figure all that stuff out. Now you know everything. You know how you don't want the toilet paper. You want, does it flow over, forward, or backwards, right?
Forward. Always forward.
Always forward. Thank you.
It's
See?
Never
I told
backwards.
You. Never backwards.
It's never
Not
backwards.
Doing this. Do you know what I've started doing in my house now? I refuse to
She won't change it.
I won't put new toilet paper on the toilet paper roll ever, because he'll just come through and, like, fix it anyways. So
let me just.
It's his job.
So let me just. So thank you for taking care of this debate. Yes. But I will tell women.
I'm still not going to do it.
One thing that women don't respect their husbands for is the fact those women who want to go backwards on the toilet paper, men typically stand up they use the bathroom. And if they need a piece of toilet paper for whatever reason, they can't find it because they're not sitting down.
I never thought of this logic.
Yeah. You can't find the toilet paper. It's got to go forwards. It's right there.
Got it.
Okay.
Duly noted, dear.
Women, let's take care of your husband.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So any other things you want to leave men with as far as how we can really help just continue to have a stronger bond, connection, relationship with our wives? Because we all want that. I mean, we got married to have this utopia life that we all dreamed about before we got married, and course life happens and things change and whatnot, but we really can't have that in some aspects. Some days are going to be hard. That's part of life. You don't really appreciate the great things though without having the hard things. I think we should really understand that too. But what else can you leave us with as guys to really
I have a few things. So kay. I'm kind of like reflecting back on the conversation that we've been having. What I'm hearing all of us say is like we need to not take everything so seriously. I really am hearing that right now. And I think mm-hmm. that's really important to just like highlight and put out there. We need to have fun, right? We need to remember that just because we cleaned up that mess today and it's probably going to be back, you know, tomorrow, it's kind of funny that it like keeps happening. Like, let's just laugh about the mess instead of cry about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that saying, like, let's not cry over spilled milk. Let's just enjoy it. And I'm specifically thinking about when our youngest was getting one of her first baths in the kitchen sink. And as soon as we took her out, remember what she did?
She peed all over you.
She pooped all over
me. Oh, yeah, pooped all over you. That's right.
It was disgusting. She pooped all over me, and there was poop all over the kitchen floor, and I busted out laughing. And you were so frustrated because you had to clean it all up, and that kind of made it even funnier. But the fact is like, we should laugh in those moments. Like, mm-hmm. we should just enjoy it because, you know, they go so fast,
they do.
Right? They just, mm-hmm. they come and they go, and we can't ever get them back. And so enjoy it and laugh and play. I'm also hearing what we're saying is, like, we want to communicate, right? And so that's the opposite of stonewalling, which is a fancy way of saying giving each other the silent treatment. We know that stonewalling is, like, the number one reason why people divorce. It's one of the unhealthiest things you can do in a marriage. So I think it's really important to put that out there, is we're not talking about silent treatment. We're talking about getting feedback, seeking it, giving it, being okay with like letting our guard down and saying, hey, I didn't really like the way that interaction went. I need this in the future. And for that information to be received with, okay, I'll do my best to implement that. Thank you for giving that feedback to me because I care about this relationship.
Well, and really quick, let me just jump in really quick right there, because I really love that you said that, because we ultimately all want to be the very best us we can be in really every aspect. And if most of us think about more of our jobs and careers, and if we were really like wanting to be the best in our career, we would seek feedback all day long and want to like improve on certain things and whatnot. But we don't really do that in our marriage very well. In fact, it's always going to be such we're criticizing instead of giving constructive feedback. And maybe it's the way we're saying it or the tone, and that can happen too. But one thing we mentioned and one thing we learned in the Love and Respect conference is that when we go meet our father in person, face to face, and he says, so tell me about this, this, and this, and this, and he may be talking about your marriage, and he's looking right at me, and I say, well, my wife did this. I'm not talking about your wife right now. I'm talking about you. What did you do? Mm-hmm. You know, it comes down to us. We have complete control of what we do and do not do. Whether we stonewall or not, whether we give grace or not, whether we go the extra mile, even when our husband doesn't deserve it or our wife doesn't deserve it. And it comes down to one thing that's really made our marriage work for so long is the grace we give each other, the constant forgiveness, unworthy forgiveness because of that relationship you mentioned earlier that we have with our father, knowing that we were forgiven when we don't deserve it, that he sent his son to die for us when we did not deserve it. We were unworthy. And it's that same philosophy we put into our marriage that we believe in. And that's the only reason why we've really been able to be as successful in our marriage as we have, is that grace and forgiveness.
Oh, I 100% second that.
Me too. Amen.
So I just also want to like add that the Bible even talks about, there's a verse in there, I think I like committed it to memory when I read it. It was like, I refuse to hold a grudge. Refuse to, obviously my memory is not very good. TRS. Ultimately, it's like refuse to take it so personally, because that can wreck relationships. Mm. And I think that's really important to put out here too, is if we're so internal, we're so self-focused, it's going to be hard to get over things. It's going to be hard to give feedback. It's going to be hard to seek out a productive, constructive type of conversation.
That's true.
And recover and heal from it, right? Mm-hmm. And so being able to just say, you know what, this isn't personal. Like, I need
what's
to go.
What's going on with you?
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on with you.
Yeah. What is wrong with you?
I see that right. You might be taking something out on me. Mm-hmm. Like, help me understand.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And have, like, a collaborative conversation about it.
Well, and just like in the conference, what's the,
what's the issue when the issue's not the issue?
Yeah, there you mm-hmm. go.
It never is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And like to be even always asking kids. That. Yeah, totally. There's always something more going on.
Well, and by the way, I mean, if there's a fight, this is something that we talk about and laugh about sometimes and fight about sometimes too. But, you know, you may say something that really hurts me and then I say something back and all of a sudden now I'm in trouble because you're hurt. I'm like, well, you did it. I mean, I responded out of hurtness. I'm hurt by what you said, and so I responded in hurtness, and now I'm in trouble. It's like, come on, man. I can't win, you know? But it goes vice versa, too, right? Mm-hmm. So that's that never-ending, you know, struggle.
That mm-hmm. makes me think of something else, too, that I think there's two more things I want to say as I'm, like, summing all this up. Like, because I also heard you say, like, it's really important to have a cheerleader and some motivation and encouragement, and those are like, really speaking to your emotional needs, your need for intimacy that's not just physical.
Right.
And I think we need to highlight that because mm-hmm. at the beginning of this conversation, we were just talking about women being the emotional ones. And actually, you guys are really emotional. Sometimes my husband's like the most emotional person I've ever met. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Right?
I agree with that. And I think I want to add to that.
Go ahead.
Hey, Lee, can you cut that? Cut that, please. Cut that.
Because my husband's emotional too, mm-hmm. and like
men are emotional.
They are, and I think they're told maybe too early on that they're not,
right.
but they actually are, and it's
guys don't cry.
I read somewhere that it's important for a wife to give space for her husband to be emotional, to not expect him to always be strong, and that even if he shows a moment of weakness or vulnerability, it's okay.
Right, like it's normal.
Yeah.
Because their dads or the men in their life or even their moms told them, be tough, suck it up,
yeah.
you know, rub some dirt on that, and men don't cry. And so, we are ultimately as wives kind of like giving them the corrective motherly experience too, right?
Mm-hmm. We're and taking not to care criticize them. No. I had to learn that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's very easy to be like, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then it's like, you know, my husband would say to me, like, I'm doing it. Are you recognizing it? Like, it just seems like you're adding on to, like, what else you want me to do? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I am. I am being too critical. I got to work on that. I don't want that because I don't want that. I want, you know, feedback, but I wouldn't want you to be like, why haven't you done that? Well, you should have done it that way.
Right.
So.
And so the other thing that I want to put out here is, like, women, as women, we need to remember to focus on the big picture, right? Like, the long story, not the details, because I think women tend to get stuck in the details a lot.
I love details.
Right? And then, but they stress us out. Hey, husband,
what'd you do all weekend? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I mean.
Who was there? What was going on?
What y'all talking about? Did y'all talk about me? Did y'all talk about the kids? I'm like, I don't remember. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, sure, we did. Well, what y'all talk about? And we really don't know.
I don't even know if we talked, right?
Yeah, we talked about you. I mean, I have to do it all the time. Yeah, we talked about you. What'd you talk about? I'm like. Dang, man, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's okay.
Well, and I think that one thing that we've also put in our marriage that's really, really key, and we're not always perfect here as well, but really, like, trying to be intentional about really giving the other person what they may need at the moment or that day or week or whatever not. Because it talked about, you know, one thing that we learned is that there's so many, like, influences out there in this world. There's social media, there's internet, there's, you know, we spend more time at work more times than we spend at home in a lot of ways. There's so many outside influences, opportunities for the devil to jump into the playground of marriage, which is really where he thrives the most. Mm-hmm. Breaking up the relationship is what he wants to do more than anything because it breaks up everything from kids and screws up the entire world that we live in. Mm-hmm. And so when we're not giving each other what we need or want or whatnot, then, you know, there's going to be enticements all the way out there. And I think we should really understand that and really think about that. If I'm not giving my wife what she needs, she's going to be more vulnerable to the devil jumping in and trying to ruin this marriage mm-hmm. and vice versa. So, I mean, you know, when we first started dating in any relationship for the most part, I mean, I always wanted to do whatever it was to make her happy, like send her flowers, you know, bring her candy, some surprise. I didn't have to spend any money, just doing something, you know, something that would make her happy. Like, you know, Lee mentioned it earlier, like instead of like cleaning the house for my wife, she didn't care about that. But when I took some time off of work to spend time with her, she was like, oh, yes, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
And it could change, you know, mm-hmm. certain things, but doing things that really would be pleasing to the other person. Because we just want to, not because they asked for it, need it, expected it, or whatever not, because we want to, because we really care that much about our spouse and the relationship that we have that it's going to make the difference in our marriage.
I agree with you, and I think that's what also makes marriages unique. we shouldn't compare our marriage to somebody else's. We could look to ones and be like, oh, okay, they've got something good going there. I want to work towards that. But we each in the marriage come to it with different gifts and talents and different love languages, and that's what makes us unique. And, like, we get to embrace that, not look around comparing, being like, oh, I want my husband to be more like that husband, or I want my wife to be more like that. Like, bringing out the best in each other and having fun while doing it and just embracing that uniqueness.
Absolutely. I think we all have our own path that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us today for the Parents of Velvet Kid podcast.
Thanks this for having me.
Great conversation. Guys, I hope you learned something. I don't know what it was. I'm still trying to figure it out. But lots of great feedback
good
here.
Good thing it was recorded today.
But really, I think it's been really great. I think wives and husbands can both get a lot from this conversation today. So thank you. And we'll see you next week. We're going to have the guys join next week. We talk about what guys really want, need, think about, talk about, and whatnot. So you'll get that perspective. The Parents of Velvet Kid from Surviving to Thriving in Your Household. We'll see you next week.